everyone, and welcome to Padawan Unlimited. I am your host, Skill, and today I am joined by two hosts. You may know them as Corey and Rob. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hello there.
Thanks. That's always fun. I'm always wondering what you're going to pull out this time. So
kept it basic this time. I'm going to bring a guest, I think, within the next couple of weeks just to like spice it up a little bit. We haven't had a guest in a while, and see if I can get somebody, especially someone competitive, because like we're going into that new Galactic Championship, so we could talk about a little bit more in depth for those who are interested in that. Thank you all for joining. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. Thank you so much. We always try to keep it upbeat, positive, and you know, like to give stuff away. but before we get all of that, please remember to like, subscribe, tell your friends, give us a rating on if you're listening on the podcast channels of some sort. It really helps out. It's incredibly motivating to provide this content for the community, so help us stay motivated. Some logistical stuff first. So anyone who has won their stuff from 3 weeks ago, all the prizes should have been shipped out, so you should get them within the next week or so. Apologies for some delays if you were expecting them within the next day or so, but we do ground shipping. So we're not made of money in that sense. But hopefully the packages get to you safely. Let us know. Send me an email at gil@padawanlimited.com if you have any issues, and let's see if we can try to get it resolved in any form or fashion. I think we have tracking on most of them, so they should get to you. And I generally trust the United States Postal Service. Also, if you are overseas, which no one has won from overseas yet, I think we've had a couple people. Some Patreon members are actually on overseas. We will get your stuff. Like, for example, the Patreon welcome package. You'll get that soon. I just want to like bucket them all in like big packages so that I don't have like a lot of mini ones going out. Because we did a pack rip for the Patreon supporters, but also including so with those cards. There's some bulk we want to ship out with you with that. There's the welcome package, which is a sticker and like the card back, Padawan Limited card back. So there's a lot of stuff. I just want to put in like one box instead of two things. Which, speaking of pack rips, Corey, if you could refresh us, because I've been a little slacking on the Patreon posts, but just refresh our listeners with what you're trying to do. A really cool event.
Yeah, we want to do the a digi break for the first 10 paid tiered subscribers on our Patreon. Since we're just getting this started, we want to do something fun for the people that get in early. And so the first 10 paid tiers at Patreon are going to be getting a random number 0 through 9, and then we're going to rip packs. We're going to do 2 packs from each of the 5 sets that we have, the basic ones, and then we're also going to do 2 carbonite jump to light speeds and 2 carbonite force Legends of the Force. So some good stuff coming your way for sure. And basically we just open the pack, we look at the collector card number of every card, and the last digit of the number is going to go to whatever assigned number that card is. So if you get Sabine's Masterpiece, and that's, well, actually if we say it's, let's go Legend of the Force, if we get a Anakin Skywalker and it's and you are assigned number 2, that card's number is 572, you get that card, and so we're going to slot it in for you. And so all of the cards that end in your number, you will get the stack of those cards. So hopefully you guys get a whole bunch of good stuff, and with carbonites, you could be getting some pretty cool things. The one thing I will say is with the serialized stuff, I hope we pull one, but
oh, dude,
for serialized, it's going to go to the serialized number, not to the card number. So essentially, what that means is everyone gets a chance at the serialized numbers, right? So if we pull, let's say, a Mace Windu, and it's 15 of 250, it's going to go to the number 5 person, not necessarily the card number.
Yeah.
That way everybody gets a shot.
That's sick.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. We'll record it and go through it and then send that out as a video, and then you guys get that stuff as Patreon members.
Can I participate? No, I'm just kidding. No, that's super exciting. Again, thank you guys for that. That's gonna be really cool. I'll throw in a pack too. I'll do that.
Oh, nice.
I need to open a box, or maybe I'll buy a loose pack. Although that's not very economically
I mean, all the packs I'm having are basically loose packs, except for the Legend of the Forest ones so far, because I haven't gotten them yet.
I know,
but
so speaking...
we'll have them soon.
Go ahead, Rob.
And actually, speaking of that, Corey, I believe you and I are planning on doing a pack rip video for the Legends of the Forest stuff as well, so that'll be
hopefully
upcoming.
We get that up as well some pretty soon.
Yeah, let me know. I mean, I should be getting... So, first of all, that's great stuff. Thank you, Corey, for sharing that. And Rob, I'm looking forward to like that kind of shared like video, like box rip. That's gonna be really cool. I always do stuff for myself, so it's nice to see. But we'll move on to the collection segment. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but we'll try to keep it short-ish. I don't know. Corey.
I mean, this is pre-release week for Legend of the Force.
Pre-releases are going to be tomorrow.
Which is crazy because it's also 4th of July week as well. So happy Independence Day for those who celebrate. Hopefully get a day off even if you don't. But we've seen cards in the wild. People have been ripping packs and displaying some stuff. I know Team McClunky has been getting a lot of cases, I'd say, not the same boxes, cases.
Packs. They're high rollers over there.
Some posts over there, but I was actually just because I'm like, oh, I need this content. I gotta watch, and so Whatnot is a little bit addicting to watch people rip packs. And there's a channel on there that was doing some Carbonite packs, and they ripped a Mace Windu serialized card. And what's crazy is we saw the pictures of that triptych that they did with Mace and Yoda and Ki-Adi Mundi. And looks cool. But the serialized, they actually added a little extra to it, which was really neat. I thought that that was cool, a little surprise, because I did not expect that whatsoever.
It's kind of looks so like the Force family like lines, Ahsoka, like Tano.
Yeah, they're like Halos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And it helps you locate Yoda on his card, at least.
So potentially,
it's like a target.
That's awesome, which is really cool to see. So I'm like super hyped now. I'm like, oh, I need some cards, and I can't wait to start ripping packs and getting the collection to actually add to the collection here for this segment. But I did also want to go over some of these legendaries, because these new legendaries are, I feel like they're a little bit better than what we got last time. Like, a lot of those legendaries in Jump to Lightspeed were basically trash. Like, the trash. A lot of them were trash.
Okay, what were the legendary? Okay, let's think about this. Well, all right, so...
Turbo Laser Salvo. Is anybody using that?
Sometimes, I guess. Early PX.
I'm seeing it a little bit in PX.
It's great. It's great in Twin Suns.
Fair enough. I mean, it's a format that's not getting much support right now, though.
That is true.
We'd love to see if there's a competitive market for that. That would be cool. But I definitely feel like these are better. I think the prices of these are going to be higher at the bottom than they are for some, because there are legendaries in Jump to Lightspeed that are under $1. I feel like.
Wait, really? So, oh yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, there are a lot of coaster legendaries. It's true.
For sure. So, well, I was going to ask you guys, besides Vader, because I think Vader, three things are going for Vader. One, it's Vader, so automatically it's going to get a bump up in value. And it's also a great card to play. It's very, very viable, right?
Yeah.
And there's like multiple versions of him with the prestige and everything, so... but actually that could hurt his value maybe if we're talking about like just the base legendary, I suppose. But as far as these legendaries in this new set, which one other than that one do you guys feel like has the best chance to stay close to pre-sale values? Because as we know, pre-sale values do not, like, you're going to pay a premium if you're pre-ordering anything on TCG Player.
Oh yeah, that's not a good move. Price. Yeah, don't buy pre-sale.
Not financially smart, but... What do you think? What's going to be the one that's right behind them?
The one? I don't know if there's going to be
one. But I'm just saying, what do you think is chance?
I think Bendu's got a good likelihood to be up there. I don't think he's going to be crazy high, but he kind of falls into that same niche as Crate Dragon. Crate Dragon's very useful across the board. and yeah, and very powerful, right? And I think Bendu's going to fall on that. He comes out a turn earlier, so like that's, you know, yes, there's a downside to him, but I think it's going to be there.
Bendu right now pre-sale listing TCG price is about $20. Mm-hmm. How far down, like if we do this a month from now, where is that price at for Bendu?
15.
That's how not
many,
that far.
How many months out? Two months, you said?
No, this next month. Next month.
Yeah, okay.
It's $5. So 25% discount there, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna write this down.
We're gonna.
What aspect?
You're gonna cut my prediction.
What aspect? What aspect is Bendu again?
He's a red. He's mono red. Well, yeah, just one red.
Just one red. He's a creature, right? Force creature.
Creature, force, 8, 10, 10. And he deals damage to three damage to every other unit when he attacks.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
I think he's a capstone in most red decks that you're going to get to him.
I disagree. I think he does too much. I think he hurts yourself too much. I think he's going to be majority of the, in the $10 range.
Yeah, I do think the majority of the red cards, though, are probably the red legendaries are probably going to be in that maintaining value area. I think HK 47 is going to be
let me hear. Keep jumping into the new cards. I want to hear what Gil has to say about Bendu.
I have the same thoughts as Rob for not Bendu, but like for Qui-Gon. I think HK is, hold on. There's a couple things.
HK is going to be a staple.
So. HK is great. I think his value is only going to go up in future sets, but I think initially it's going to be low. I think like you'll see a good deep cut. I mean, we'll see. You know what? That's a lie. He's really cheap. He does like damage like off the rip.
He's a two cost red black, two four. That does when an enemy unit is defeated, does one damage to the base.
How much is he going for?
I'm looking on here because. I looked it up, but that was the foil. I was like, oh, that's higher than I expected. But it's a foil. So HK 47. He's going for, right now, pre-sales are market value is $22.
I think he's going to stay around 20 bucks.
But that's going to go, if this is just a regular base version.
Yeah.
But there are TCG lows of $8.
See, yeah. The thing is that I think he's going to stay. I think he's going to be a staple in most red decks. Just, I mean, it's the nature of what like a lot of these red decks are doing, right?
For HK. Yeah. Okay.
I would believe that too, especially if like at Galactics you see a red deck make it to the top. Because it's such a easy card for your curve and fits a lot of places, right? Like, why would you not want to?
Play him every single time. It doesn't matter.
Turn one, two, four is always good. Especially with...
And he's a droid.
Power curve.
Which,
Secrets of Power could be a droid, a heavy...
So talking about collection. Where did that rumor come from? Because I heard that on the Discord, and I was like, no. Where's the speculation like coming from?
Other than there's like a couple droids in... The droid exclusives that are
the 2025 convention pack,
right? Other than that, I don't know. I didn't hear that either. So
that's funny.
We got to look into this. Do some research.
Yeah, but I agree with Rob that
Qui-Gon was the other one, right? Was the other one you guys were thinking?
Yeah,
I'm like thinking actually for my collection, I want Adi Gallia. As the red card, the uncommon.
That's a rare, though.
Is it? It's an uncommon.
No, she's uncommon.
She's uncommon, right?
She's either uncommon or rare.
Her hyperspaces are going to be worth something, for sure. Because she's a card that's useful. It's red heroism, right? That does damage, like just doing nothing, essentially. And any of these uncommon hyperspace, all these uncommon hyperspace cards that are useful actually go for a lot of money. The wing leaders, the fleet lieutenants, like all of these like aggro cards.
Barrage.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about uncommons, Ki-Adi-Mundi is fantastic also with the force.
Yeah,
I'm draw just... two cards. That's a
yeah.
It's why I think we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But I think also you're going to see Shin Hati and Balin Skull be worth a decent chunk.
So those, if I was going to target, if I was going to target cards for a collection that would retain value for a period, like a more extended period of time, it would be the uncommons. Hyperspaces, not foils, just straight up hyperspaces are potentially going to be useful, like that have value. Like those are the ones I would keep and retain, or like buy, like maybe even pre-sale because sometimes they actually would go up. Like that was if I was going to risk it, like those are the cards that I would
risk
get.
The pre-sales,
not the legendaries, not the rares. It's always the uncommons because those are like in hot demand.
The ones that become very valuable, like in terms of play, are the ones that will be worth more than. You know, some legendaries.
Well, playability is going to be a major factor, and how many different decks can use it, right? That's the other thing that you got to think about too. But I do think Anakin is going to be a good legendary and hold value because
the blue one, right? The
blue one, the new legendary Anakin, not the young baby Anakin.
My only concern there though is that I think he has very limited. Uses to really get the true value out of them, right? Like if you're trying to hit both sides of that ability, right? You're trying to hit both a heroic and a villainous card in there. So you're talking about you're only going to really use him.
And you're trying to do that, but the thing that I like is that he is single blue. He is not, you know, you can use him in a black deck or a white deck. So he's got range as far as the decks that he can go in, and it's a, you know, good stat line, and it's a good ability, like just. Wiping something off the board, finishing something off that's big that
he's
was
a
damaged.
5/7?
He's a 5/7 for 6. Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you think about Luke as a card, it's a -3, however many restore, 6/7 for 7. This is pretty close to stats in terms of 5/7 for one cost less. You're not pinned to another aspect, which is heroism. So, that's great. And you automatically get at least a -3 removal.
Right,
like generally speaking, because by the time you get to 6 resources,
you're gonna have a black card, or you're gonna have a white card, or either one, if not both.
Yeah,
it's like, that is like you're gonna have that. One of that's those. Cracked. Like the other aspect, like -3, it's just a bonus. Like you get an automatic
but
removal.
You're not getting restore 3.
Yeah, but I mean,
come out turn earlier as well.
Turn earlier, and again, you're not locked to an aspect. I think that is legendary. This is going to be useful. I mean, again, it's a free power of the dark side, but you get to choose.
Well, definitely
sort of. I mean, like at that point, because at that point, it's
-3.
-3. You're removing something. Whatever. Like, fine. Free make an opening or something. Or,
but like that, yeah. It's definitely doing something when it comes down. And it's a big body. Like the seven health is pretty good. I mean, isn't Luke a 6, or is he 7 also?
He's a
6/7.
Oh, he is a 6/7. Okay. Well, yeah. I think coming out earlier. Being able to go in both black and white decks, and if you can somehow get a black card in there, if you're in a white or vice versa, if you're playing Chancellor Palpatine, maybe he's great.
Well, I think it's Anakin, white Anakin, and then Palpatine are the two places where you might see it. You might get both of them,
but yeah.
He's pretty good. Any deck that has the new Vader as a legendary. You just throw in another 6 costs on the same curve. That's 6 cards that can remove something at 6 resources, right? You might not be able to defeat the shield, like get that cool like Vader like shield combination, which we'll talk about advanced mechanics in two segments from now. But you ambush him in for 6. He's doing 5 plus a -3. That's with 7 health. Like he's killing anything on the board. Potentially 2. Yeah.
And
you know.
Exactly. And the other thing with him is he doesn't get hamstrung by the defeated abilities. He's not defeating anything. He's just wiping out their abilities. So like kills Lurking Ties if you want. He kills Chewies if he's got damage on him, right? So it's like
And village protectors mean nothing.
Shields don't matter, right?
No, I mean I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying like in terms of the slot, I don't know. I feel like there's better options on 6. If you're not taking advantage of both sides of that,
so
if you're not getting the -6/-6,
you know what you're making me think we're talking about this is the collection segment and we're going to like advanced mechanics and meta. Sorry, let's wrap this up. Because we're getting too excited. This is what happens. We just get too excited about this one topic. So, Corey, before we move on to the next topic, anything else for us, buddy?
I just want to ask you guys, what's your favorite prestige card that you've seen so far? Because we've seen a bunch of them. I'm excited. Obviously, I'm excited. I want to get a Vader, but I just feel like he's not great.
Terrible. God, yeah. Why did they do that?
I think Darth Malak is my favorite. Visually, I think he's my favorite.
Go ahead, Gil.
For me, it's the two panel Asajj and Quinlan Vos. Like, was it called Didac? Dyad in the Force? Diptych. All right, sorry, I don't know. These are new card terms. I'm still learning. Diptych. All right, that diptych.
This is a Star Wars. This is an art history term.
Okay, fine. I don't know art history. Excuse me.
I'm learning too, Gil. I only know these terms now because of Star Wars. So. Or honestly, I probably heard them at some point somewhere along the line, but like you don't retain that until it matters to you.
Exactly. So that diptych is exact. Though I want to put that up on something. I want to get the foils or whatever. I'm going to put that on like
the playmat.
But the diptych is the con exclusives, right? Or isn't it?
I think that's the con.
I'm getting too excited. That's how excited I am for them. Yeah. Like, I don't even care that it's not a prestige card. Okay, sorry. For this prestige card, the card that I actually really want, even though a lot of people don't have been, like, kind of negative on it, is the Yoda. Because he's, like...
Yoda's good.
He's in between Mace and, like, Ki-Adi Mundi, and he's kind of, like, looking down with, like, a really weird face. I love that, and his card's good. Like, him as a card, like, in my deck is going to be amazing for, like, top end. But, like, I just like the fact that he's kind of like, I'm in the back. to the Clone Wars have begun. I'm going to go in. Nice. Funny. I love it.
Yeah, I really like Shin Hati's card, actually. I like that one is a diptych, by the way, with her and Baylan's skull. Yeah. Baylan's is fine, but I really, really like Shin's. The way that she has lightsaber like across her body, and it was really, really well done.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So thanks, Corey, for leading it, and sorry for going into like more mechanical stuff. Sorry, all you listeners out there, sorry as well.
It's part of the value of cards.
It's true, though. You
gotta talk
about
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't separate the two when it comes to like talking about the innate value of what you're going to see in the market.
That's true. Okay. So, long story short, valuable cards worth more money. Probably see a decrease.
Playable
cards are worth more money.
So there you go. Easy, easy financial analysis and collecting and advice. All right, Rob, what do you got for us for a meta discussion?
Well, there was a meta update today that was kind of a nothing burger.
No, but, really? Tell me more.
Yeah, I know. Really? Nothing. Tell me more. there are no bans coming before Galactics.
What? Really?
Just about no one. this has been kind of par for the course for what they're doing in terms of meta updates. They don't want to shake something up without there being a reason for them to shake something up, even if there's potential speculation of things being a problem, aka Force Throw. They did mention that Force Throw, Force Lightning, General's Blade, I think, are the three that are going to be kind of on the watch list going forward. Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree with Force Throw. If you were on our Discord earlier today, I extolled the reasons why. But for those of you who weren't, I will let everybody know. And the reason is because it's kind of the same thing as TDR. It's action compression. So
TDR again? Just remind everyone.
Triple Dark Raid.
A card from set two, raid, which was three.
Yeah, a card from set two was banned at the beginning of this set. So it's a... It's a really cheap cost card. First of all, it's a one cost card. It does two things. It does potentially two things, but the reason it's going to be a problem, I'll go into in a second. So the two things that it will potentially do are, one is it will always discard a card. Now, it can be from your hand, but more importantly, it can always be from your opponent's hand. And secondarily, if you have a force unit, it will deal, you deal damage based off of the cost of the card. So for one cost, and if you have a force unit, you will get to hand destroy your opponent and potentially clear something off the board. Particularly early on in the game, this is a problem because, as it turns out, we're getting a lot of force units this this set, and we're getting a lot of early force units. So even now, it's a little bit of a problem, but the sort of saving grace and the reason it hasn't been banned as of yet is because it's not as prevalent, only because there are only a certain vein of decks that really run force heavy enough to be able to take advantage of it, mainly Anakin, Rey, and Quinlan.
So, like, let's put that in perspective. I want to just take a moment to put that in perspective for some players, right? For the meta specifically, like, we have to think. Like, I think for most people who are already ingrained in the game, they know this. But for those of you who are relatively new, and just for comparison, for one cost, like Rob said, this card, Force Throw, can discard a card from your opponent's hand or yours, but you're probably going to destroy your opponent's. And then it also, if you have Force Unit, does damage. Now, for the a comparable discard card for this is called Pillage. It's a four cost card to discard two cards, and you don't get any damage. So to be clear, for four costs, you destroy two. Can you imagine, like, if it was actually four cards for four costs, how devastating that would be? But for Force Throw, it's just one, because it requires the force, right? Just Pillage is whatever, but, like, that's why it's probably why it's, like, reduced. But, like, that's insane.
Well, the discard, like, is regardless of whether you have the force. That's the other thing.
Well,
so
yeah,
you can just target your opponent.
Well, yeah, that's okay. So you're right. So, like, holy crap! Like, that's mind blowing. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just wanted to put that in perspective.
If this was a two cost card, that would change a lot for sure.
Yep. Yeah, it would be. Still a little bit busted, but not quite as busted. Because the real problem is that right now, and where you see it happen the most is in Quinlan. Because Quinlan also will run cards like Ahsoka, and will also run cards like Kira, right? So those Kira doesn't discard cards, but Ahsoka does. Kira, however, limits what you can play in your hand, and so where it's most sort of impactful is when Quinlan does this and he double force throws you, and then he plays something else too on top of it usually. So you get double force thrown, you potentially lose two cards from your hand. If they have a force unit, which they have force units from turn two on from resource three on, you lose two cards, you will potentially lose two units. It can be really backbreaking in a tempo shift, and it's really hard to recover from that. Now we got force units everywhere.
Yeah, so let's take a step back, because I think we're going really deep into, like, mechanics of the card itself. So let's take a step back. So that card, Force Throw, is not being banned, so the meta isn't going to change anytime in the near future. So at least Correct. For another couple weeks, until there's data.
Probably a week after Galactics, yeah. is my guess.
Just in time for Gen Con, right? So meta isn't really going to shift, and you were talking about some of the ways, like, that it's actually made but negative for the meta. I think on the call, the stream, they mentioned how wide the meta actually was. So it's actually relatively healthy now, but with the force being involved, it will probably go very red force heavy for whatever reason. Yeah. I think that's probably one of our big predictions.
And I think the big thing with, like, what makes it, like you're saying, so devastating, is just to simplify things a little bit, is that hand advantage and card advantage in these types of games can be very, very powerful.
Yep.
And the fact that you have to play a card down, you're drawing two, which is different than a lot of card games, but you're drawing two and you have to play one down to increase your resource pool, or else you won't get to play the units or the bigger cards that you want, kind of limits you. And so as you're doing that and you're getting, you know, pillaged or force thrown or whatever, Ahsoka's, you're just top decking, and then you're kind of restricted to playing whatever you get instead of being able to have a strategy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's talk about because I think the meta is not really going to change anytime soon. Let's talk about meta that's going to affect us, like, within the next week or two. Because you're organizing, Rob. You're organizing for Mythicos Studios. You're organizing their pre-release event. We talked a little about about pre-release like a week ago or so. We talked about leaders primarily. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some cards. So I think that like meta strategy to be successful in a sealed event, then potentially in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your general approach to a sealed, building a deck for sealed?
If I can ask, wherever I can get wherever I can get the most action compression. I mean, Corey, you're talking about hand advantage, but in this game, I think it's not only hand advantage. I mean, hand advantage is always good in just about any card game, but in this game, action compression I think is probably king. And what I mean by that is any card that allows you to do more than one thing when you play it. So cards with ambush are like the easiest example of this, because it allows you to play a card and then you also get to immediately attack with it. There are restrictions on this, but you're doing two things where normally you would have to play a card, wait for it to, you know, unexhaust, and then be able to attack with it. That's over two turns. Now you're able to play that card, get immediate advantage on it. So I tend to look for things with like ambush, because those are particularly in a draft or a sealed format, those are just in completely, you know, keyword independent ways to get action compression.
Okay, fair. How about you, Corey?
Yeah, that's absolutely agree there, but like, I guess to go a different route, I want to try to remember that you have a limited pool of cards in this one. You're not thinking about everything else that's been out there, all the other sets. So knowing the cards that are like bombs, trying to find the cards that are going to be ones that are going to be the card that you're going to build your whole deck around, essentially, and trying to find that card. And if you get that card, then seeing how you can use that card to build a deck that's going to be whatever color aspects that you want to go with, and see if you can fit that with your leader. But trying to find a bomb that you can build a deck around is going to be the thing that I look for.
Yeah, and I usually want that to be around like cost 5 to 6, because the games can go longer, but generally speaking, you want to be dropping that bomb on resource 5 or resource 6.
And when we say bomb, we're basically meaning a card that is very good. It's like overstatted or has a very strong ability, something that is hard to deal with for your opponent, since they also have a limited pool of cards. They don't even have the pool of the entire set. They just have whatever they pull from their packs.
Yeah. In particular, this set, like anything that has a big butt, has like a large health pool, is going to be something that you will probably look for, because there's really not a lot of removal in this set, like in the sealed set. You only have this, what's the 7-cost one? It's worse. Is the only like really true removal spell. Or event rather in this set. The rest of them are all kind of like either well Shatterpoint as well, but again, they're all kind of like situational, right? So those are the two that you have to look out for. So if your opponent's playing blue, then on 4 there's a possibility for removal if they've drawn a Shatterpoint and they have the force. Force is probably more likely, but again, it's there's not a lot of removal, so anything that is just going to take a couple of hits and keep on trucking, like that's going to be a card that you can build around.
Well, I think for me, my initial strategy for every first game, especially since like I don't really practice with like new sets until the set comes out, right? I'm a paper guy. Like I need it in my, like it's really hard for me to play online. I mean, I will, I guess, but like if I have to, especially for like testing or whatever. But like for draft, there's no way I'm playing cards like online. But for me, my initial strategy is one of two ways. So the first is, how many red cards can I get? And can I build a deck around all my, again, with aggro? Just to like, because that's like not that's not thinking, but like it's a relatively simple game plan. Like just hit base and see how far I can get, right? And then I'll try to pair it with something that's useful. So I'll always try to collate all my red cards and see, okay, can I make a heroism or villainy deck that matches what I'm trying to do? The second one, my second strategy, and it's usually my more winning strategy, like this is where I actually like always have a positive win rate with draft and sealed, is I always check to see, okay, where are all my sentinels, and then whatever I have the most like, which is blue usually, and then I'm gonna be like, all right, I'm building my deck around all these sentinels and like getting and you're not gonna get through. And like you guys said, like My bombs, though, are never past six or seven resources. I'm never having a card worth more than that. Is like, even if it's an amazing card, I keep that in my side pack thing.
Yeah, like Crit Dragon, you're never playing it in a pre-release. Really,
so
you're not getting there.
Yeah, so Sentinel strategy is just like block, 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 block. They have to, there's no removal, so what are they gonna do? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they have to break through.
I mean, Churrit's a bomb, I would say. Like, if you get Churrit,
Churrit's
that
gonna
can
be
a bomb. Like, imagine having Obi, and then just giving him a experience and pumping him up.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And then also Obi unit too, like Obi leader, Obi unit, Chiru.
Well, that's a starter card. Oh,
it can be in the packs.
Yeah, all starter cards can now be in packs, which is, I love that, by the way. Especially in regards to the collection, like the sleeves
or spotlight cards, whatever.
Spotlight cards, special cards. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my strategy: red, then Sentinel, in that order.
No, I think the aggro thing is real important because, because we have a limited pool of cards to play with. If you can out race your opponent, it's usually a winning strategy. So, going aggro is usually a good idea, especially when it's random what you get, it's random what they get. You know, there's no, banking on what they have. Like, oh, I know this guy's he's playing red. He's going to have these cards. Who knows? Maybe not.
Yeah. Who knows? The one aside to that is that if you happen to, like, yellow tends to have a lot of, like, tricks and specifically bounces. If you end up getting a lot of cards that have bounce, you can build a pretty effective deck.
Yeah. That was for capture for set two. That was, like, my jam. Yep. If I could get Take Captive or, like, the Discerning Veteran or whatever it's called, like just it was a 3/5, like 4/5 cost that captured something. Oh, I love those cards. So good.
I will say in this one, there's a lot of lightsabers. So if you can get some lightsabers and pump up those early units, there's not a really easy way to get rid of them. So like you were saying, Rob, there's not that much removal. So getting some upgrades on small units, making them bigger, like a Gungi, putting a lightsaber on him.
that card's gonna be a problem.
Everyone keeps talking about Gungi because he's a 2-cost 2/5, right? He's a Wookiee.
He's 7 stats for 2.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
And then you put a lightsaber on him, and he could be like a 5.
He's
9,
like a 5/8
on 10, like whatever.
So
like, it's crazy.
He's a 5/8 on turn 2.
So Gungi is your bomb. I just like keep playing that too.
If you get a lightsaber.
Green red, baby. Let's go green red.
Oh my god, green red. Yeah.
Get that Yoda's lightsaber and drop it on Gungi. Here we go, baby.
And then just keep it. Just keep initiative and just keep going. Just keep wrecking. That's wild. Okay. Before we move on to the next section or segment, any final thoughts in regards to sealed strategy? Winning your pre-release, if winning is your thing.
If winning is your thing, this is my just refrain in general when it comes to pre-releases, because sometimes, like, if winning is your thing, there's a good chance you might have a bad time because you just never know what you're going to get. So best bit of advice is just go and have fun, guys. Like, so, you can try to play to win, but sometimes the cards are just going to say no.
So I will leading into that. If you pull a showcase, or if I pull a showcase, I'm playing that all night. I'll lose every game, but I already won the war, man.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Especially if I get a good one too, like an actual good one, like a Talzin or like an Obi or something like that. I am not.
It's Fisto, baby.
Kit Fisto. You know what? Those. Tell me some of your thoughts on that, because there's some people who are like anti Kit Fisto, but I think that's really just for like organized play, like in the sense that like tournament, but like at draft,
I don't even think he's that bad for organized play, frankly.
All right, well,
I mean, I think in sealed he's going to be good because there's so many Jedi's in this set.
Yeah,
so
I think Kit Fisto is actually going to be pretty decent in sealed because that you're never on curve. You're always going to have one cost. Like you're going to use his ability a lot, and like he's a 1/6, but there's so many freaking Jedi in this set Force users. Like he's going to come out as at least a 3. What is he? He comes out as a 1/6, and he gets +1/+1. So he's going to come out as like a 3/8.
Which
he gets plus. He doesn't get the health.
He doesn't get health. He just gets 1. Okay, so he's going to come out as a 3/6.
Which, by the way, his prestige card or not prestige card, his
showcase
showcase cards looks pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
I like it.
I'm a fan.
The only thing I would say is, in a sealed event, all of your cards are your sideboard. So don't be like locked into something. If it's not working, feel free to play around with whatever you got. Like, you can just change up the entire thing if you want.
Change
to
the entire deck, including your leader.
Yeah. If you don't like it, just switch it all up. Don't worry about it.
Between matches,
try something one
though.
Time and then
between matches.
Yes.
Let me just replace my entire deck in between games. It's in the rules. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Thanks, guys.
I've done that. So, yeah. I was like, oh, this is not working. Let's change it up.
That's so funny. I've done it too. Especially when I've lost my first match. I'm like, oh, this game, this deck sucks. Yeah. So I need to move on. All right, guys. Let's move on to the last topic of the evening. Let's talk about our last part three of getting back to basics. So last week ended up pretty early, so we didn't end pretty early, like we just rushed
it. It was shortened.
I didn't want to go over an hour, so like that's just on me. So we have 20 minutes to talk about this advanced stuff. So I'm thinking we finish up keywords, and maybe we talk about, I don't know if we talk about all of them, but like we could talk about some of the more relevant ones that people usually play, and then also just more advanced like lines, like, so this happens, what do you do? Or like, this is a good combination that most people haven't really thought about, right? Like, we could talk about that. And I think that'd be a good capstone to our three-part series of getting back to basics. So when I first started this podcast, I did a lot of like really basic stuff, like SWU overview, preparing for store showdown, keywords, like all these important things. Now that it's been a year since the podcast been released, I think it's important to kind of remember your foundations, right? Like wax on, wax off. And let's all remember the fundamentals to, be better or improve. So I'll go first because I don't want to spring this topic on you guys. We didn't really prep for it. But so for me, Sentinel.
Is it going to be Sentinel?
Yeah, it's always Sentinel, baby. Sentinel is a keyword. Like, what ends up happening is if your unit has a red text that says Sentinel on it, it has to be attacked. So that means that, like,
in that arena
it always has to be attacked, right? There are some weird mechanics with, like, if you're attacking from a different arena, so let's say you are in space and then you're attacking into ground, you could potentially skip it, but that's a different thing. If you're in the same arena, you have to attack it no matter what, even if you're going to defeat it with an on attack ability. So like,
and it does take precedent over every other keyword or text box first.
Unless you're using the saboteur keyword.
Right.
The saboteur keyword means that you can attack the base instead of the sentinel, right? Saboteur does a couple of other things. We can talk about it a little bit later, but that's the first keyword I want everyone to remember because it will literally save the game. If you have sentinel in your hand and you're about to lose, slam that on the deck, slam that in the arena, and like they have to deal with it. Like they have an action to go through. That they have to get through. So, I don't know who wants to go next.
You got something, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I'll do. Let's see. Let's do overwhelm, because that's one that's actually kind of important later in the game. And if you're playing a lot of aggro decks, it's one that can be very important. So overwhelm states that when you attack a unit, any excess damage is dealt to the base. So if you're attacking something like Maul is the prime example of this. Maul comes out, he ambushes, he's a 7-6. He attacks something. Let's say that something has 3 health. So you overkilled, effectively, by 4 health. That 4 damage goes to the base instead of just kind of disappearing into the ether. So if you have to attack a sentinel, and it only has a couple of health left, and you overwhelm it, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. It changes the math on how much you are required for lethal. And
yep.
So you can kind of lure people into a false sense of security. It's like, oh, I'm good here, but then boom,
so let's get a little more advanced with overwhelm. So there is a line that people play, especially with Sabine ECL. It's Wrecker. Wrecker does a couple of different things. Most people know about this, but it's a good example of overwhelm and like, what do you do with it? So when you want to visit, what his ability is, when played, you can defeat a resource, so chuck it into your discard pile. So, and then you could do 5 damage to a unit. So what happens, Rob, when you do 5 damage to like a unit that has 2 health, and then you want to overwhelm. Can you do that or not?
Well, no, because it kills the unit before the wind blade happens before you would attack. So wind blade always takes precedence over that. But if you went into something that says had 6 health, and then you drop that 5 damage onto that unit, and then you attack that same unit with Wrecker, you're now overwhelming. It'll be 6 because he's a 7 attack unit.
Haha! So nested. There's things happen in order, specific order. Thank you for sharing that. I'm saying, like, hey, again, some of this is probably really basic for other folks, for some folks, but there's others, especially those who are new to the game. We have a lot of them on the Discord who are very new. This is probably really relevant to them. So thank you for taking us through that, Rob.
No problem.
The overwhelm. How about you, Corey? What you got?
Well, I want to talk about Smuggle. Smuggle is a keyword that was introduced in Shadows of the Galaxy, which was set 2. And when the game first came out, what was really cool is you had to choose 2 cards in the beginning to put down as resources. And the resources you use to pay for the cards that you're playing. It's kind of like your mana if you play Magic. You need to have resources to play cards. So cost of the cards, the top left, we know that. But if you don't have resources, you can't pay for it. So you always had to use those. And once you put them in your resource row, there was it. They were gone. So it was a tough choice because you had to decide if you ever wanted to use that card again. When set 2 came out, keyword Smuggle was revealed. This keyword allows you to put a card in your resource row and then play it from that resource row for maybe an additional cost. It might be the same cost. They have a different cost for Smuggle, and it's always printed on the card, so you'll never have to guess. But this now allows you to make choices or different choices than you would normally. It's like, I have 2 cards. One has Smuggle. I might put that down because I can always play that later on as a card from my resource row. And the only downside is you do have, because you don't want to like deramp yourself, you do have to take the top card from your deck and put it into your resource row. So you don't know what's coming up unless you've already peeked at it somehow, but you don't know. So you could be pulling a card off the deck that you may need. But normally it's a better play to play the card that you have from the resource row. And a big one that people play a lot is Hotshot Blaster.
Mm-hmm. So let's
action compression.
Let's
action compression. There you go.
I want to reiterate that one point you had that you said, because people forget it all the time. I see it on live stream and competitive play. I've done it. People do it all the time. When you smuggle, take the top card from your deck and put it exhausted. But you can rearrange it, but like it's exhausted into your resource pile. People forget this all the time. Like, it's wild. So, like, don't think that you're above the fray, that you won't make this mistake. No. That is very important. When you smuggle, you play it, take the top card from your deck, put it into your resource row.
And I don't know if I've met a player that hasn't forgotten at least once.
Everyone has screwed it up at least once.
Yeah. And then you'll, especially if you do it on stream. Oh, heaven forbid you do it on stream. Those people are going to catch it so fast.
Forever.
And they're going to like, get the judge. This guy's cheating, even though it's probably not cheating. It's just like you forgot about it.
Especially after like 8 hours of woo playing and stuff. It's like it's very easy to make misplays.
Yeah.
You know, so.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. So you talked about Smuggle.
We didn't specifically talk about Ambush, but I mean, we have talked about it in other segments. It's an important one. This is one you're going to see everywhere.
I think the one thing you need to know about Smuggle, or not Smuggle, about Ambush, that's really important, because new players don't know that. Like, new players forget this all the time. You can't ambush into a base. You have to ambush into a unit.
Attack a unit.
Every new player, unless you have had some like crazy like understanding of the game beforehand, like, has made the same mistake, literally. Even people who have like played for a while. Like, I was at a locals a couple months ago. A guy who was who's been there all the time. Like, he doesn't really play Star Wars Unlimited. He's played a couple games, but he was like, "Oh, I got the game." It was like Ambush. I think it was like a Snowspeeder or something.
X-23.
Yeah, or something. He's like, "Bam! I win." I'm like, "You can't hit the base, dude." He's like, "Oh, what?" I'm like, "Sorry, you can't do that. It's on the rules." Yeah. I think for me, that's the only thing you really need to know about Ambush. You can't hit base. You have to hit a unit. And if it's a Sentinel unit, you have to hit the Sentinel. Unless you have Saboteur, then you could do something. You hit something else in the same arena.
Well, you, You mentioned Saboteur before, and there's some other things that we should talk about with Saboteur that we did talk about. So Saboteur allows you to ignore Sentinels, but the other thing that allows you to do is if you attack a unit, you defeat all shields on it. All shields.
Oh, yeah. So if somebody
stacked a couple shields, yeah, mm-hmm. somebody stacked a couple shields on a single unit, they're all gone. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
People forget about that all the time. Yep. As
it's,
well.
It's a corner case thing, but it does have its uses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially there's a card that's coming out that you can put two shields on. That was like last set, jump to light speed.
Oh, that was last set. Two shields. Yeah. Well, I mean, even like Vader, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. Vader comes out, the new Vader, new Legend of Vader comes out, drops a shield on something on your side, and then something on the opponent's side, and then you can, you know, you don't have to potentially deal with a shielded Vader. Or there's the shuttle.
Keep stacking shields, like Lando, yeah. the jump to lead speed Lando, you could stack shields on people like that.
Long Pike.
So. Yeah.
Yep.
Sentinel with shields, or like a big body with shield is just like silly. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go real quickly about the other, some that are really easy. Restore, heal your base. Very simple. Yep. Don't need to talk about that really much, very much. Another one that's, you know, it's not relatively simple, but exploit is another one.
Okay.
Right? Exploit means there's a, it says exploit and there's like a number. Whatever number, it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, whatever that is. What that
it's
means.
The number of cards.
Up to the number of cards to exploit. Exploit, what that does is you defeat a unit on your side of the board. It could be a token, it could be a creature. I don't know, it could be even a leader, honestly. And what you do, it reduces the cost of that card with exploit by 2 for everything you've defeated on your side. So if you have 4 tokens and you defeat all 4 for an exploit, that's reducing it 2 times 4, that's reducing whatever it is by 8, right? So right. It's a
malevolence.
Malevolence. Yeah. It's one of those things that like people forget about this one too. That not that they don't forget that like it's a key word, but because it's not used very often, like you'll see all these tokens. They're not you won't clear the board, and sometimes you should because you don't want them to exploit the cards drop a big bomb on you like early in the game. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. One I would like to just call out is raid, because raid is a keyword that gives your unit extra attack power that doesn't count towards that unit's attack power, essentially. But when it attacks, it gains what X number next to the raid that attacks. So if I'm attacking, the most popular one probably is A-Wing, right? So we see that everywhere in Sabine. A-Wing is a 3-1, but it has raid 2, so it hits
other way around,
as a 3-3. 1-3, sorry. Yep, you're right. Because it's attacking, it's a 3-3 essentially when it attacks. But if it's getting attacked, it's only doing 1 back. So,
dude, if A-Wing was a 3-1 with raid 2, holy crap, that card would be so good. Oh my gosh.
Would it though? Would it?
I think so. I mean,
it'd be a glass cannon, but...
A glass cannon, but like, you know, 5 damage, you go first. They can't, if they don't interact with it, you can defeat.
They go first. Yeah, if you go first, sure.
If you go first, you also get Quinlan.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Again, but that's just Quinlan. Anyway.
Or bad.
Yeah. What other keywords are there? I think...
The opposite of exploit is coordinate, right? So
coordinate.
You want to flood the board so that way you can activate coordinate. Coordinate is a keyword that allows you to trigger an ability that happens when you play the card and you have 2 other units, at least, when you play the card... Because you need 3 units, and the coordinate card can count itself.
Yeah.
It then becomes active. So you might have something that says draw a card if you have coordinate, and you play the card, and you get that ability or that effect. So there's a bunch of them. A lot. Vader has one in the Yellow Vader deck with the shuttle that captures a unit.
Right. Yep.
That's rough.
We're 53 minutes, so let's start to wrap up this last segment. We've talked about most of the keywords. I don't think we initially missed. If we did miss one, sorry.
Grit. Grit's the one we missed.
All right, real quickly.
That's okay. We'll talk about grit in a second.
Yeah, well, what's grit? Just real quickly.
Well, also, let's talk about in relation to the next topic, which is lines or potential combos. Sure. So one of the ones that often comes up is, or that I see a lot, and you're going to see a lot because Kira is a very popular leader right now, is her ability to interact with units that have grit. So grit is an ability that basically the amount of damage that a unit has taken, it gains an attack power. So if you have something that the perfect example of this is as the Hybalon Enforcer, which is a 1/4 one cost card that is often played very early in Kira. The reason being is because Kira's ability, when you activate it, costs one. So this is a turn one play. And it deals two damage to a unit and then grants it a shield. So what happens is you have a 1/4 unit that's dealt two damage. It's now has two health remaining, but it gains that two damage as attack power. So you have a shielded 3/2 rather on turn one.
Yeah. That's a great combo. That's a great line. Really good example of grit. I think that's really helpful. So thank you for sharing that as the our final like keyword. I think we talked about all of them. If we missed one,
a bunch more.
This is a transition.
Piloting is a keyword. Shield is a keyword. So.
We'll talk about that in another feature. I'm running out of time. Okay. So an advanced line. Oh, there's one is hidden. Right, we'll talk about that next week. All right.
After
so,
Guild dominates with Third Sister.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Third Sister. Okay. So one very advanced technique that I love that people get tripped up by and I've talked about in the past, sneak attack with Fleet Lieutenant. Mm. Sneak attack with Fleet Lieutenant as a card combination. So the yellow card with Carlos means you could just do 5 damage to base.
You can just sneak attack yourself.
So sneak attack yourself. He comes in ready. His ability is one play. Gives yourself +2. He does 5 damage. It's a great closer. People forget about it all the time. If you can do it, try it. It's hilarious. I did it in Milan a lot during the side events, and people had to call judges a lot. It's a legit move. So
it's fun, like when you have to, you get someone to call a judge on you. Like, no, I got
this. That's real.
Call them over. Yeah, they'll confirm.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. All right. How about you, Corey?
Yep. Combo wise, I think that what I'd say is McClunky is a crazy combo card. Basically, it's an underworld card, and so all these cards have traits on them, and if you can work with these traits to create. Because they kind of synergize with each other. And what McClunky does is it says, take a unit from your board that has the underworld trait on it, pick it back up into your hand, and just do 3 damage to something. And so when you combine that with Cad Bane, and his ability says, when you play an underworld card, which McClunky is, do damage to a unit your opponent chooses. But if your opponent only has one unit on the board, you're essentially doing 4 damage to that unit for a 1 cost, I think.
if you have job,
zero if you play Jabba.
Yeah, if you have Jabba on the deck on the board, then it's just free.
Yeah. Well, and Jabba allows you to dig for it potentially too, because he lets you look at 7 cards.
Well, now if you have Barriss Offee, it's free too, right?
Yeah,
it's in events 1 less.
I'm trying to make Barriss Offee work with that minus cost. Anything you can help cheat out is always like good to me. So I feel like I'm trying to make a Barriss. No good. Now there are 2 of them. Jabba, type thing going on. We'll see how we go.
Got them yellow tricks.
Yeah, man. Yellow
tricks.
It's crazy because yellow is so strong, but like it doesn't actually win. Well, that's a lie. It does win stuff, but like.
And Cad is yellow and he's won.
It's not as dominant as I thought, as you think it should be.
Han has won.
I'll say that.
Han in set 3 was very, very
Boba.
Well, Boba's just cracked. We all know that. They even admitted to the fact that they messed that one up. Screwed the pooch on, if we shall say.
But that'll be interesting. I think the event thing is going to be.
It could be
good.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I'm looking at too is Balin Skull's interaction with force units. Specifically, I'm actually looking at him in Gar Saxon right now because you've got 2 units on the 3/4 curve that come out shielded that will interact with Balin Skull, and that's Shin Hati and Darth Tyrannus. So the loop is basically Balin Skull, if you have the force, you can, when you play him, you can pay a force, pull a 4 cost or less force unit, put it back in your hand, and then replay it for free.
Yeah.
So With Shin, it's okay, but where it's absolutely cracked is with Darth Tyrannus. Darth Tyrannus is a 4/3 shielded that gains ambush if you have the Force, and you will just do some absolutely massive damage with him, kind of just replaying him and doing some crazy things. And then additionally with Gar Saxon, because he's shielded, like there's so many things that you can just do with these cards that.
Yeah,
it's going to be kind of nuts.
Yep, and with that, that's a good finisher combo for this podcast episode. Thank you so much, guys, for all your hard work and dedication to this, as well as your insight. So we'll try to finish up some of the other stuff in the future. The keywords, I mean. And until next time, may the Force be with you.